Intervju Radija Študent.
Lepo pozdravljeni v RŠ intervjuju, v katerem gostimo Sturle Dagsland, odmeven norveški avant-folk projekt, ki je aktiven od leta 2011. Gre za bratsko navezo, ki jo sestavljata inštrumentalist Šur Dagsland in vokalist Sturle Dagsland. Njuna glasba je žanrsko prelomna, plava med eksperimentalnim folkom in avantgardo, vmes pa se potaplja v unikatne inštrumentalne formacije, ki so produkt različnih improviziranih inštrumentov ter nenavadne glasovne tehnike, ki vključujejo vse od živalskih krikov do tradicionalnega vokaliziranja. Dvojec smo imeli priložnost prvič v živo videti v Ljubljani leta 2020 v okviru festivala Ment, od takrat pa izpostavljamo izid zelo hvaljenega debitantskega albuma Sturle Dagsland, ki je šel leta 2021. Album je avanturistični pogled na ustvarjanje glasbe, odraz multikulturnega okolja, ki sta ga brata spoznavala med potovanjem z enega konca sveta na drugega. Projekt se nocoj vrača v Ljubljano in bo nastopil na koncertnem ciklu Level Up v metelkovskem klubu Channel Zero. Ob tej priložnosti smo se pogovarjali z bratoma Dagsland, ki sta nam več povedala o njunem ustvarjalnem procesu, debitantskem albumu in trenutni evropski turneji.
So, maybe for a start, can you tell me how are you? You recently started your European tour and you are currently on the road. You're back in Ljubljana after almost 3 years. We had the chance to see you at Ment Festival for the first time here in 2020. You're currently touring. How does it feel to be back on the road?
It's been good. We've been touring a lot this last year now, so it's been good to finally be able to come to back to Slovenia as well. The tour didn't start very good. We lost all our equipment 2 days ago at work, so we had to cancel the festival, and but we just got it in time to get on the plane to Slovenia, so at least, yeah.
Well, I hope that you're gonna have the chance to make up for the lost shows. How's everything been going with did you have any shows before Germany?
We've been touring a lot and it's been going very well. It's nice to at least when the first few shows we did after COVID was at least it felt from the people that they were more appreciative by the shows and by just the performance in themselves. There was lots of, I think, heightened emotions. A lot of people cried and it came to up and thanked us so much for all the show and the feeling. So that was very nice to be able to play and get that sort of feedback from you when you perform.
Yeah. Well, I hope you have the same remarks for your following shows as well. So one of your stops is Ljubljana. You will be playing tonight at the club Channel Zero, a concert part of the event series called Level Up. We'll get back to all that performing live in a bit later. For a start, I would maybe ask you about what has been happening in your career since your last time here in Slovenia, so since 2020, even though, as you said, the following years were pretty much marked by the pandemic. I believe there are some novelties that you might want to share with us.
Yeah, we actually released our first album in 2021, so we came out with that album, and then in 2022, we were able to go on tour, so we were touring all over Europe and also in Brazil, and we're going to Japan soon, and yeah, so it's, things are looking up.
Yeah, nice. As you said, you released your long-awaited self-titled debut album in 21, which is, I have to say, a strong proof of the uniqueness and, in a way, isolation of your sound from maybe everything that is currently actual on the general music scene. Can you maybe tell us about the creation of the album, if we can just jump right into it? Can you walk us through the creative and recording process for this release?
I think it's we don't make every song has sort of its own beginning in a way, because we don't have like one specific template on how we create music. So it's a bit like cooking in that sense, that whatever ingredients you put in can vary in accordance to what you want to make. And for this album, we have recorded over a few years, so we have been traveling a lot all over the world and recorded it also at many places that has a very unique acousticness to them. So we have been like recording at high mountaintops in Norway in more like small cabins, but also in like big halls, and yeah, to sort of get to just get both inspiration, but also just to get some of the magic from the place that we play in.
Yeah. So, and also in Greenland.
Yeah, and also one of the most interesting places we've been was in Greenland. We were sort of recording with like many like husky dogs, because it was like a small village that had like 150 husky dogs, and we were warned to not go to them because they were really aggressive, they told me. But I have never met that was the cutest dog I have ever met, so we had to go and pet it. And so I just started to pet it, and it was perhaps the most, like, one of the best connections I've ever made with another, like, being in my own life. I had, like, this unique experience with the dog, and I just became ultimate friends with it right away. And so we snuck in a bit late at night when there was all of the Greenlandic people had gone to bed. They had, like, bedtime started a bit before us. And so I started to like record with all of the dogs, and it was like in the middle of a snowstorm, and I started to like make all kinds of sounds, like throat singing in like really high pitched to more like to try to be the dogs. And I sort of became the alpha of the pack, and they started to respond to me. And so it became everything from like when I stopped, it suddenly became complete silence from all of the 150 dogs. And that was, it was really a unique experience for me to at least have that. We don't use it that much on the album, but it was sort of a starting point from many of the songs, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nice. I got a glimpse of adventure from the very first track of the album to the very last second of the album as a whole. And it's clear that there, even though as you said, each track is created in a different way, it may consist a different background. I got a feeling as if there's a developing story if you go through all the tracks of the album.
Thank you for saying that. I think it's everything in a way it's connected, and in a way, it stands for itself as well. So it's, for me, it's, even though I have like a meaning for me for each song, it's sort of more up to the listeners to find a meaning for themselves, I think. Mm-hmm. And whatever that is as true as my my interpretation of it. Yeah.
So you would also say that the location was quite important for creating songs for this album?
Yes, sometimes it can be important. It's, you can create, you know, just whatever magical thing you want just by sitting in like a small basement as well. But sometimes, you know, where you are and the atmosphere can have a sort of a connection to it, especially if you try to use the nature or try to use like the rooms you are in the music in a way. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So how did the selection, how selective were you in choosing these locations? Like did all that happen more random, or did you like make a plan for where to create, where to record?
It's a bit of both, because we tour a lot of like many different places. So sometimes if we go somewhere, then we'll, okay, this is an interesting place. Maybe we can find a place to spend a few extra days to record music. For example, when we were in Berlin, we found this Wasserturm Prenzlauer Berg, which is like this old water reservoir, which has like an extremely long reverb that we sort of used in, sort of could use in the music. And that was very interesting to just see. That's like a reverb that almost, that when you sing in one direction, it comes to the other, the reverb, without being a delay. So it's very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so this, I would say, experimentalist approach towards music creation in your case is maybe the main core of your music. And can you tell us about how you try to keep this approach alive in your music? How do you search for new patterns of artistic expression, both in terms of the instrumentals and the vocals?
I don't know. I think it's just about always just being on the lookout for something new and just feel. But it's not always just about trying to find something new. I think it, in many cases, it's just about just trying to create something and see what happens also. Because I'm always looking to find new ways of expressing myself and my thoughts and dreams and whatever. But it can also be more like narrow things that I don't... It's not like I go into every track, okay, this is going to be like something completely new or anything. It can just be, I met a really nice cat yesterday and I tried to write a song based on that cat. So it's not necessarily something like I'm going to experiment and find this new unique way, but it's.
Mm-hmm. And would you say it's the same board for the instrumental part or...
We always try to look out for new instruments and cool objects that make a very particular sounds, but it's not just all about these things and instruments, because the expression has to come from within, ultimately. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
it's a combination of both.
Mm-hmm. And when I listened to your new album, it was quite clear. And as you said, that different cultural and both musical backgrounds are involved here. Yet all of those different elements are somehow beautifully and also chaotically, but beautifully in a way, are packaged together with the presence of a unique sound that consumes everything from... Nordic traditions to some song titles that find meaning in the Japanese culture, for example. Can you tell me about your views on the presence of such diversity in your music and how that affects your creative process?
Yes, both in expressions and in inspiration, I think sort of feel like inspiration and ideas can come from wherever. It comes from dreams, it can come from just feelings within, but also from inspiration from like family background or different cultures and films and whatever might find our interest. And we have some songs that are a bit inspired by sort of like Nordic culture, like a song called Nuaidi, which is sort of about a shaman in the Sami culture. And I use some joiking, which is the traditional singing from the Sami people of Norway, in our music as well. And then I might use some throat singing, which is more like Mongolian or Greenlandic. And then suddenly there's more of a pop music or like a hip hop vibe or something. So it can come from anywhere. And I think it's a bit about that. At least for me, I'm not just on one vibe all the time. I am a multifaceted person with lots of different feelings, and I sort of try to get everything that I am and that we are into each song. So it's not just trying to be a certain vibe or a certain emotion. It's a bit about just trying to be real and exploring different emotion within myself and within the world around me. And yes.
Mm-hmm. And also the use of a wide palette of instruments, as you said earlier, that quite differ from the classic ones, is key for your music. And this is also noticeable in your debut album as well. How did this desire for the maybe atypical sound to become the signature sound of Sturla Dagsland. How did it come to this use of, you know, such a selection, such a range of self-made improvised instruments, if we can go back a bit to your creative roots?
No, I'm not sure. We just always try to, yeah, it's, we're all just always on the lookout for something new and exciting to work with. And when we are out touring or traveling, we, if we find some interesting instrument, then we get really excited and just get really like, yeah, just get a lot of energy from trying something new and exploring that in the music. Sort of like, we use one of the instruments I really like at the moment is an old, is a billy goat horn. Mm-hmm. It's made from a goat in Norway, and it was made by an old instrument maker who's like sort of like a legend in Norway. And so that's a really, and he raises the goats before he sort of uses them. When they get old, he uses them to make instruments. So they're sort of like his children. So I sort of take care of his children. And also I recently got an Aztec death whistle, which is sort of like the Aztec used in sort of like rituals or like sort of war situation. It sort of creates a certain scream, sort of like a metal scream, like... So, I don't know if that answered the question, but at least we are always at the lookout for something new because it's exciting.
Intriguing in many ways.
Mm-hmm. So, are you going to include these instruments that you just mentioned to the live shows of this tour as well?
Some of them, yeah, we have a couple of goat horns tomorrow. We use some waterphone, which is an old an instrument that was made in the 60s, that's sort of like the old horror movies in those days. Every time there's sort of like a monster, then sort of like then we use that instrument. But we also use lots of like more like modern soundscapes and like synthesizers and like tank drums and lots of different things. But yeah, vocals is always for me my full focus when I sing, but then we have some flutes and like, yeah.
Yeah, as you mentioned in one of our previous emails, your voice is maybe one of the most important instruments in your music. So your music is strongly marked by a variation of voice techniques that find fit in various aspects of both popular music, traditional songs, animal expressions. So how does one build up such a vibrant voice profile?
I think it's just a practice, really. It's just trying and just exploring. When I was young, like 5 years old, I was singing opera with my full voice every day when I went home from school, and like every like mother was like closing the window, yelling at me. And then, you know, a few years later, I think my first like live performance was when I did a rendition of Aqua's Barbie Girl. So in a talent competition, so I was like wearing my mother's bra, and I had filled the bra with lots of candy that I was throwing out at the end of the song, saying that it was my silicone. And I had made like a hand doll, which was Ken, because I was supposed to perform with a friend of mine, but the day before the performance, he said he wouldn't do it with me because it was embarrassing. So I, with my mother, we made a hand doll that was him. And so I sort of simulated sex with the handle on stage while singing and performing Barbie Girl, and I won 2 cinema tickets.
Wow, nice.
It was the first prize.
Yeah.
So I think it's just, you know, it's just about looking for new ways, and I don't have like any like big no-nos from where I can take inspiration. I'm just inspired from wherever, and whether that be pop music, flamenco music, atonal experimentations, or you know, whatever, yeah.
And also the performance, after the performance, you got your first paid gig.
Oh, yes. I was booked to do the same thing in the local church. Because my best
for 50 euros.
Yeah, my best friend's mother was the cultural arrangement person in the church. So
the priest.
Yeah, the priest. Yeah, yeah. She became a priest later in life. Yeah,
that's just amazing. Yeah, if we can maybe move to your live performances, which are a world of their own, as far as I saw online. Can you tell me how you plan each performance, or if we can focus on this current tour that you are doing right now? What can the audience discover with your way of creating and delivering the songs live on stage? How are the performances for this tour conceptualized, if they are, or what are your top priorities for these live concerts?
Yeah, the show is very expressive. Expressive, yeah. That's probably the one word I would use to describe it. Is it goes, it varies very in emotions. Everything from more subdued, like soundscapes. From it can go from that to more like wild shamanistic sounds, and it goes from more like trance, like sort of like more like you're in a trance, to more like open landscapes in a way.
Yeah.
So it goes sort of in and out of lots of different things. So I think the key word is expressive and
dynamic
and adventurous, mm-hmm. maybe. Yeah, so it's, I think it will be a very, I'm really looking forward to playing tomorrow, and I think it will be very...
Tonight,
I mean. And I think it will be a really cool show.
Great. So I'm sure many of our listeners had the chance to catch you live at Men Festival almost 3 years ago. But for those who didn't and plan to do so tonight at Channel Zero, what would you add? What can they expect from your performance, both musically and visually, maybe? As you said, that liveness, expression, is it going to be something different from the Ment performance like 3 years ago?
I think the intent is the same, but then there are new and more and other soundscapes and musical expression that are... I forgot the word for it.
We get the point.
It's gonna be cool.
I think we are almost running out of time, so I would thank you guys for taking time doing this interview today. I wish you a successful rest of the tour, and good luck on the concert tonight.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, looking forward to it.
Poslušali ste intervju z norveškim projektom Sturle Dagsland, ki bo nocoj nastopil v klubu Channel Zero v okviru koncertnega cikla Level Up. Za konec tokratnega RŠ intervjuja poslušamo še komad z istoimenskega prvenca, tole Sturle Dagsland s komadom Hulter Smulter.
Intervju Radija Študent.